The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, in verse number 4, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so there are seasons, there are times in which the Lord has designated for us to be in a state of sorrow and mourning. And when we face those times, the difficulty is in understanding that we're not just to try to escape the mourning, but rather to embrace it as a purpose that God has designed in our lives, and He has a purpose that He's working for our good.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Growing in Grace. The Bible instructs us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a moment, you'll hear from Pastor Brian Weiss with instructive biblical teaching for your personal spiritual growth. This message was originally preached at Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Take out your Bible and prepare your heart for what God has for you today. Now let's hear from Pastor Weiss.
Well, let's take our Bibles and we'll turn to the book of Matthew and chapter number 5, Matthew chapter 5. We started about 2 weeks ago looking at some things in the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday nights, and kind of looked at some things on Wednesday night. And tonight we're going to continue in that, Lord willing, and as He leads. So we'll be in Matthew 5, and if you're able to stand for the reading of the Scripture, I'd invite you to do so. If you're not able, that's fine. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That's the verse that we're going to focus on tonight. Verse number 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And I'll be preaching to you tonight on the subject of merry mourners. Blessed or happy are those that mourn. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for allowing us to be here tonight and the way that You've met with us already today. It's been such a blessing to be in Your house. And now over these next few moments, as we look into Your Word, I pray that You would guide my mind and my mouth and my heart to be able to preach Your truth to Your people tonight. I pray that You would convict the sinner, the lost sinner, of their sin and their need for salvation. I pray that You would encourage and challenge the saint here. Lord, for those who are hurting, for those who are sorrowful and mourning, I pray that You would comfort them, that You would give Your peace, make Your presence known. And Lord, I pray that as we look into Your Word, that we would find all those things. Lord, You know every need of every heart, and I just ask that You would meet those. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You'll probably hear me say over and over as we study through the Sermon on the Mount that these truths are totally contrary to our human understanding. Especially as we look at this first section that we know is the Beatitudes, and Wednesday night we focused on that subject, blessed are the poor in spirit. Tonight we're looking at that idea of being blessed in our mourning, in sorrow. It seems so foreign to us. It seems so far from our understanding that these things that we tend to think of as negatives in life, the Lord can look at them and say, no, those are good things. You can be blessed in those things. Wednesday night we consider that concept of being poor in spirit, and that is recognizing our condition before a holy God and being broken over that. And we looked at that subject of blessed brokenness. And tonight we're looking at the merry mourners. Blessed are they that mourn. We tend to live our lives avoiding as much sorrow, mourning, and trial as we possibly can. We especially as Americans, as Westerners, tend to have life pretty easy many times compared to the rest of the world. And yet, we are so afraid of being faced with sorrow, being faced with mourning. Now, I think that that's natural. I think it's normal that we'd rather go to a party than to a funeral. If you'd rather go to a funeral than a party, there's probably something wrong with you, okay? I'm sorry to say that. I had a friend in college when I first started worked for a mortuary and embalmed bodies, and he thought it was the greatest job on the face of the earth. And I thought, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're just not normal. I mean, who wants to be involved in that? I mean, to be faced with tragedy and sorrow all the time. It's not something that we enjoy. Naturally, we tend to avoid those things. But I want you to realize, and I believe you probably do realize, that this life that we live in is full of sorrow. It's full of mourning. I don't know that anyone in their life will ever be immune to it. Most everyone will face at some time in their life sorrow. They will be faced with mourning. We found out just this afternoon that a high school classmate of my wife's passed away due to cancer in her early 30s. Tragic. Sorrowful. I read news articles of families that are being, you know, torn apart by all kinds of terrible sin. And I've preached funerals for children. And, I mean, life is full of sorrow. Life is full of it. And when we look at these things, we wonder, how could any good ever come from mourning, from sorrow? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, in verse number 4, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so there are seasons, there are times in which the Lord has designated for us to be in a state of sorrow and mourning. And when we face those times, the difficulty is in understanding that we're not just to try to escape the mourning, but rather to embrace it as a purpose that God has designed in our lives, and He has a purpose that He's working for our good. I want to just point out some things to you tonight from Scripture on the subject of mourning, on the subject of sorrow, and hopefully will be a blessing to you if you are going through some trials, if you're going through a time of mourning and sorrow. I hope that this can be a blessing to you. But even if you're not going through those times, I hope that this will be a challenge to maybe change our thinking a little bit about difficult situations and sorrow. The first thing that I want to point out to you is in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, and that is that God cares about your sorrow. God cares about your sorrow. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to look at a familiar verse of Scripture to most of us here, in verse number 15, where it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Our high priest, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is not sitting up there in heaven, totally disconnected and totally, uncaring about the situation that you are presently in. You can be sure that He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And that ought to be a comfort to us as we recognize that our Lord and Savior, as He walked this earth for 33 years, allowed Himself to go through much of the same difficulty and trial that we face, so that now today, as He stands in heaven, or as He is seated there in heaven on the right hand of the throne of the Father, and He is interceding for us, He is able to relate to us in our pain and our sorrow and our difficulty, and His heart can be affected by your infirmities. What a blessing that is. to know that our God cares. We sing a song, Does Jesus Care? When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song. And the chorus of that song, oh yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Do you realize that principle comes from right here? Our high priest, the one who sits in heaven, the God of the universe, has allowed Himself to be affected by the same emotions that you face when sorrow and trial comes. Your God cares about your sorrow. He cares for you. Not only does He care about your sorrow, but I want to show you also that He sees and cares about your tears. Go with me to the book of 2 Kings, back in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. We find here a king by the name of Hezekiah. He comes to a point in his life where he is sick unto death, the Bible says. He's ready to die. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1, it says, In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And so the Lord sends a prophet to him and he says, Hezekiah, you're on your deathbed. You better get everything in order because your life is over. And now all of a sudden, Hezekiah is faced not only with his physical illness, but he's faced with grief, realizing that his life is over. And verse 2, it says, Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, listen to these words, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. So the Lord here says to Hezekiah the king, not only have I heard your prayer. By the way, I'm thankful that God hears our prayers, that we don't pray to some distant, unknowable God, but that when we go to God, we are praying to someone who is concerned about us, cares for us, and is listening to our prayers. But he says to Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears. The Lord took note of the tears of the king. The Bible teaches us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 56, that the Lord stores our tears in a bottle and He records them in a book. Every tear that you shed, the Lord knows about it and cares about it. And that really begs the question. Here Hezekiah is weeping before the Lord, and the Lord says, I've heard your prayer and I've seen your tears. And I would ask the question, when was the last time that you went to the Lord with tears? We find that Jesus Himself, as He walked the earth and was faced with many of the same feelings and emotions that we face, often wept. But He didn't just weep for His own personal needs or His own personal losses. We find in Luke chapter 19 in verse 41, He comes over to the city of Jerusalem, and as He stands there and He beholds the city, He wept over the city. Because of the condition, because of their rejection of Him as their Savior, as their Messiah. And He wept. And I wonder when was the last time that we stood before our city and saw the need and mourned and wept. When was the last time that we recognized our sinfulness? This, again, going back to building upon that which Jesus said in the previous verse, Blessed are the poor in spirit. When was the last time that we recognized our sinful condition before the Lord and our brokenness before Him and wept before the Lord, seeking His forgiveness and His grace. I want to say to you tonight that God cares about your sorrow. He cares about your mourning, and He's watching for your tears. He knows where they are. He knows where your heart is tonight. Then let me say, not only does God care about your sorrow, but that God has a purpose in your sorrow. Go with me, if you would. We're in the Old Testament to the book of Job and chapter number 23. Job 23, we know that Job faced greater trials than probably any human has ever faced here on this earth. And we don't necessarily know that for sure, but in one day, he lost everything he had. He went from being a rich man, a well-respected man, to being poor and broken. From having 10 children when he arose one morning to standing over the caskets of 10 dead children that night. And then on top of that, he lost his health as his body was stricken with boils, and he sat down and scraped his wounds. How terrible and how tragic his life was. And I'm fascinated as I study the book of Job, and I find that the Lord wasn't punishing Job because he was a righteous man who feared God and eschewed evil. He wasn't punishing him, but he was working in his heart to change Job's perspective on life. And if you look at Job's perspective at the beginning of life versus at the end of the book of Job, you'll find a great contrast between them. God changed Job's worldview through the things which he suffered. And by the way, the Bible even teaches us that Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. The Lord has a purpose in our sorrow. But in Job chapter 23, as Job is kind of pouring out his complaint here and really just bearing his heart about how he feels, he says in verse number 14, "For he, that is the Lord, performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him." Listen to this. "For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." Job says the Lord is working a purpose in my life, and one of the things that he's doing is he is softening my heart. He's making my heart soft. Friend, I go back to that previous question. When was the last time that you mourned before the Lord? When was the last time that you went to Him broken with tears because of a great need that you recognized and began to pour out your soul before the Lord? I've got to say to you, friend, that I believe that even as Christians, we can become awfully hardened. Our hearts can be hard before God. They can grow cold toward the things of God. And sometimes the Lord will allow sorrow and mourning and difficulty in our life because He's softening our hearts to make us more sensitive to Him. There's a purpose even in our mourning. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 7, if you'll go there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, right after the book of Proverbs. As you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you find there's a lot of ups and downs, but you kind of get the idea that maybe when Solomon wrote this, he might have been a little bit depressed. Here's the wisest man that's ever lived, and he's considering and kind of pondering the purpose of life and the vanity of life, at least life apart from God. And in Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 7, verse number 2, he says, "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in a house of mirth." I said at the beginning, if you would rather go to a funeral than to a party, something is wrong with you. But let me say this. oftentimes there's more profit in a funeral than there is in a party. That may sound kind of strange, but I'll be honest with you. One thing that I do my best not to ever turn down the opportunity to preach a funeral. Unless my schedule won't allow it, I try to take every opportunity I can to preach a funeral. Do you know why? Because there are people who would otherwise never hear the gospel, never care about the gospel, who all of a sudden, because of mourning, because of sorrow, life is put in perspective for a time. It's a great opportunity to be able to reach out to them. I would much rather preach a funeral than a wedding. Absolutely. Why? Because people at a wedding aren't concerned about their soul. They're not concerned about their spiritual condition. But there's something about mourning, there's something about sorrow that puts life in perspective. And I believe it's important for us to understand sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives so that we can put life in perspective. So that we can begin to understand God's purpose for life and what He is doing in our lives. I love the fact that, again, going back to Job, as Job was walking through the trial, questioning why would God do this, he was able to recognize that God had a purpose in it. He was able to recognize that though the situation is not good in and of itself, God is working for my good. We love Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But friend, you need to recognize in that the Bible doesn't say that all things are good. It says that all things work together for good. Not every situation is pleasant. Not every situation is desirable. But we can know that in every situation, God is working for our good. Blessed are they that mourn. Then go back with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 5, where we began. Matthew 5, blessed are they that mourn, verse 4. For they shall be comforted. Not only does God care about your sorrow, not only does God have a purpose in your mourning, but oftentimes, friend, God's comfort is found in times of sorrow and mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. One of the most overlooked blessings in sorrow is the comfort and peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that's able to keep our hearts and our minds. I'm so encouraged when I listen to Christian people describing the trials that they face, and they say, but you know what? God's been so good. I've been able to see Christians face some of the most tragic circumstances in life and still give glory to God because somehow in the midst of all of the pain, there is a comfort and there is a peace which can only be known through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His presence in our lives. And the Lord says here, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And if you'll kind of notice the contrast there, the idea is that the blessing of comfort outweighs the pain of mourning. The blessing of knowing that my God cares. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have time, let's turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to show you some of these things because sometimes when we're faced with trial, when we're faced with times of mourning, we feel like we're the only ones who've ever gone through this before. But in reality, this is nothing unique. This is nothing new to you or to this generation, but people, and especially Christians for now, thousands of years have faced difficulty. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, Paul's facing the trial of loneliness as he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Listen to this though, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. He says, everyone else left. But when everyone else left, that's when I really knew that the Lord was standing with me. It's amazing that sometimes we have to go through a time of loss, go through a time of pain to really recognize the presence of God. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 6 as the prophet Isaiah describes what it was like to see that heavenly vision of the Lord sitting on His throne. And the chapter starts off that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. You see, King Uzziah had to be taken out of the way for Isaiah to be able to really understand, you know what? It's the Lord that's high and lifted up. No man could ever be like the King, the Lord on His throne. And friend, can I tell you, no blessing this side of heaven could ever possibly equate to the goodness of God in His presence, in knowing that He is standing with us. One more place, if you would, with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse number 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now that's kind of a mouthful, but what he's saying is the Lord has been able to help us through trials and to give us comfort through it, and by that now we are able to turn around and help others who are facing the same things. We read on, and it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What a testimony that is. You know what Paul's saying here? The more we suffer, the more His grace comes through. The more His consolation comes through. The more difficulty we face, the more comfort we receive. And what a wonderful truth that is. God gives grace day by day, and He gives us strength that we need for that hour. The grace that I have today, I may need more tomorrow. But we can always know that it's in our mourning that we receive comfort, peace, and blessing. Blessed are they that mourn. Have you ever experienced the peace that passes all understanding? Peace that can't be explained by human tongue, that can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever entered into that personal relationship with God through Jesus? You see, that's where the blessing begins. Salvation doesn't guarantee that we're never going to face difficulty, does it? Never does. Christians, like anyone else in the world, will face trial, tribulation, maybe even more to some degree. But I have something tonight that the world doesn't have. Because I have a Holy Spirit that comforts me and guides me and blesses even in the midst of those things. Friends, tonight, if you've never come to know the Lord, to say you're missing out would be such a terrible understatement. Because there's so much comfort in knowing Him. There's so much peace that can come just from knowing that I'm a child of God, that I am eternally secure in Christ, that I'm kept by the power of God, that I have a home in heaven, that I have access to the throne of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never come to that point in your life, you've never had a time where you've realized that you were a sinner separated from God, and that because of your sin that you were guilty before Him, that you were condemned, and that you needed the forgiveness and grace of God. That Jesus' blood was the only thing that could pay the penalty for your sin, and in repentance and faith, turn to Him and trust in Him as your Savior. If you've never done that, friend, I want to encourage you, why not tonight? If the Lord is working in your heart and showing you, hey, that's something that I don't have, why not tonight humble yourself? Become, as it said in Matthew 5, poor in spirit. Be willing to admit your need for God and humbly come to Him seeking His forgiveness. Jesus promised, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, tonight, why not come to the Lord?